Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:06 on the clock. Got your host, James J. We're joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Oh, we've got some fun things to get to this hour. Then I write stories, good stories of the day. We'll touch on all of those. But right now, I wanted to kick things off, Melissa, with letting everybody, because Melissa, of course, is our head of their news around here, and I thought, Mel, let's let them know about some new stuff that's coming our way.
Yes, we're excited that we're going to be holding the debates that are happening on October 7th and October 14th. So the U.S. Senate debate will air on October 7th at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. here on WFHR, and the gubernatorial debate will air on October 14th. From 7 to 8 p.m. So both debates will be moderated by WBA Hall of Fame inductee Jill, is it Gessler?
Yes.
Gessler holds the Bill Plant Chair in Leadership and Media Integrity at Loyola University mm-hmm. Chicago. The lifelong Wisconsinite was one of the first female news directors of a major market affiliate as news director at WITI-TV in Milwaukee. So the WBA Foundation debates are sponsored by the Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and Universities and the Wisconsin Counties Association.
Proud to be able to have these on our airwaves for you.
Yes.
Looking forward to that, and we'll give you more updates on when they're going to be.
We're airing those on those Fridays, but then I believe we are also going to rebroadcast them on the weekend.
Yeah.
So that hopefully everybody will get a chance to catch the debates.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. It should be very interesting.
And it's really important for the future of our state to pay attention to what's going on right now.
Well, if you're not informed, if you don't know what's going on, you're not going to have a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
This is how our democracy works. You've got to get involved. You get what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting there and you're like, every politician, blah, 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 they never done anything for me, wah, wah, wah. How much do you know? Have you gotten off your couch? Have you even looked into this? Are you doing your homework? Mm-hmm. Are you listening to these debates? Are you listening? Are you listening to
what they're actually saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just, I hate this person.
Yeah.
Why? You know, I heard a really great response to that. Who told you to hate them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then think about, why would they say that?
Well, and we got another day that we're going to get into this a little bit more, but we were just talking about the truth in advertising laws mm-hmm. and those things. And people think of those laws, because we've all grown up being told these things. We've heard different stories about people getting in trouble for not giving true advertising mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And then there's the political season,
right,
where if you're watching one commercial break, you're seeing at least two, if not more than that, of these ads. And let's say Melissa and I are going for the same seat. Mm-hmm. And my people come out with an attack ad against her. Her people come out with an attack ad against me. And if all you're doing is sitting there and you're uninformed and you don't know anything, you get done after that minute or 2 minutes or whatever, and you're like, there's nobody to vote for.
Right.
These people are horrible.
They're both terrible.
These are all horrible people. Why? This is all we got? This is the best options we have? Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't be. And so one of the more common phrases when it comes to voting that I've heard literally my whole life that drives me crazy, but it is the case, even for myself sometimes, the lesser of two evils. This is oftentimes what voting comes down to, the lesser of two evils. And that is not how it should be. We should be able to get better candidates than what we got sometimes.
Well, we should.
Sometimes. I'm not saying always.
Not all the time.
No.
But sometimes, actually, kind of all the time now, we need to follow the money.
Oh, yeah.
Where
oh,
is the always. Money coming from that's being poured into these campaigns? With Wisconsin as a swing state, there is just a ridiculous amount of money being spent in this state to win your vote.
By the end of this political season, there is an estimated $1 billion something that will be spent on political ads and political, you know, parties and all that in this state. Imagine if they had taken even a half of that and put it in education.
Mm-hmm.
Put it into
healthcare.
Put it into our roads. Put it into healthcare. Put it into childcare.
Yeah.
Any of these things.
Any of the things that we actually need.
Things that we need. And more times than not, when these people get in the office, they don't get done.
They don't do.
They don't live up to their promises.
Well, part of the problem is that they're too busy fighting amongst themselves for power.
just come out the gate. Let me know where you stand. Let me know what you're all about. And let's move on. Mm-hmm. I got questions. I want to ask them. And then we'll keep going.
Don't tell me about the other guy.
I know about the other guy. I don't need you to tell me about the other guy. I did my own homework on them. Do you not think that I am smart enough to be able to do this? Like, because that's the other thing I come out
it's
of the attack ads.
Insulting our intelligence.
Incredibly insulting. Every single attack ad I hear or see is it just smacking me in the face. You're not smart enough. You're going to listen to everything I'm telling you right here. You're going to believe this and this. And it's about every candidate. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying one side or the other. All sides have different organizations that do these things and feed this monster. Mm-hmm. And by the end of every political season, millions is spent, and none of it helps any of us.
Yeah. I mean, we should talk about Citizens United a whole lot more, because that was a very pivotal moment in our history here. Of what has, and we see the results of it now with these ridiculous ads.
If you come out of an attack ad and you feel informed, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
I borderline feel bad for you. Like, personal responsibility and everything, do some dang homework. But if you're listening to an attack ad, again, whether it's for your guy or not, and you think that that's verbatim, that that's canon, that is dangerous. That is some dangerous stuff right there. Now we're going to talk food. There's no segue other than food is great.
None needed. Let's eat.
If you're looking for a getaway in a place with epic food, this list is for you. A new study looked at 182 U.S. cities and ranked them based on their foodie appeal. They weighed 29 different factors, including the cost of restaurants and groceries, the number, diversity, and quality of gourmet options, and the local food, including food trucks and farmers markets.
Ooh.
And the top ones are Portland, Oregon, Orlando, Miami, San Francisco, Austin, Texas, Sacramento, Seattle, Tampa, Las Vegas, and San Diego.
Wow.
Chicago is number 12, LA is number 15, and New York City is number 18.
That's a lot concentrated out on the West Coast and down in Florida and Texas, they mentioned, at least once.
Mm-hmm. Out of the 182 cities they considered, the bottom five are Pearl City, Hawaii, Montgomery, Alabama, Moreno Valley, California, Shreveport, Louisiana, and Jackson, Mississippi.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting on those.
Yeah.
Not surprising to see some southern states in there. We know how hard it is.
I'm surprised to see Hawaii on there, though.
A little, yeah. And I was going to say that, too, but I'm realizing I know so little about Hawaii.
Well,
I really don't know that much about it. So I guess
the fact that so much has to get shipped there.
Ah, there you go.
You know, for adversity-wise, and, I mean, the areas that I visited, they had pretty wide variety of diversity and different local options, but then also your, I would say, typical American fare.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine there are some parts of that state that are poor, just like parts of all of our states.
Yeah, yeah. How about locally? Where do Wisconsin cities land? Milwaukee is at number 24 on this list.
Not too shabby.
And kind of a little bit farther down at 67 is Madison.
Nice.
Madison, I got to think that part of that is just they're being very specific in Madison, you know, city limits. There's so many surrounding cities like Verona and things like that that have their own farmers markets and really good produce and stuff. That was one of my favorite things about being in Madison was going to the farmers markets and the organic markets and those things.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good stuff down there. That's an interesting one. And I mean, it's not really where the article is going here, I understand, but when we do these and you see these southern cities like Montgomery, like Jackson showing up, it just makes me feel for so much of what's going on in a lot of our southern states, in particular that area, in particular Mississippi.
Mm.
Mississippi is the poorest state in the Union by far and away, and has been since we were kids, Mel.
Mm.
It's rough. It's, well, then you got some of your greatest sons stealing from them. You got Brett Favre, one of the hearts of Mississippi, one of the biggest champions of Mississippi and everything. And what is he doing? Stealing from his own people.
That's terrible. I read that. I couldn't believe it.
Messed
I was
up, man.
Honestly blown
it's messed
away.
Up. That is one of the biggest Danny Wright stories I've ever heard in my life. We have another one here I wanted to get to. This is kind of interesting, though. India deploys super sniffer dogs to protect newly introduced cheetahs from poachers.
Really?
Yeah. And this is something that is actually catching on in other parts of the world. It's been more than 70 years since cheetahs sprinted across the hot plains of India, and now they're back, and the Indian government is taking no chances on their safety. That's why they're hiring specialists, 6 German shepherds, to patrol the grounds of the 80,000-acre Kuno National Park for signs of poachers.
Wow.
Asian News International reported that the dogs are undergoing a 7-month training program at the Tibetan Border Police Force's National Training Center for Dogs, where they will hone their tracking skills and obedience. Released on the 17th of September, 5 male cheetahs and 3 females were flown to India from a game reserve north of Nambai, in the first ever international translocation of the animal. Declared extinct in India in 1952, mainly due to overhunting, the cheetah's great stronghold lies in Nambai, thanks to its open flat ground, sparse populations, and rich game numbers. That's so darn cool.
That is cool.
That's really,
and then they have their own little protection pack.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder... because you got to, I feel a little bit for like dogs like my fur brother Sam, who all he does is sit in the house all day. These dogs are just going to be bragging and bragging and bragging. Like, we protect cheetahs and everything. Like, poor Sam, he's got nothing. Well, I protect the backyard from squirrels. Like, it's not the same thing, Sam. It's not really, you know.
I don't know. Those squirrels are pretty sneaky.
Very good point. Yes, very good point. We will take a break right here. We'll come back. Get good stories, then I write stories. Plenty more stuff coming up for you right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Tuesday out there. Time to talk a little science.
All right.
Love being able to go to our science section whenever we can and get into a science segment.
For sure.
In canine news, a study recently found that your dog can tell you're stressed out without even seeing or hearing you. They can smell stress on people. This is a very fascinating study. And while we kind of knew a little bit of this stuff to begin with, when it comes to, well, I was having a bad day and Fido knew and he just came up and sat right next to me and that kind of thing. We've heard those stories and experienced that our whole lives, some of us, or some people out there. But then now we've got the science to back it up. Now we're figuring out how specifically they can tell these things. Study authors collected sweat and breath samples from 36 people before and after they completed a difficult math problem. The participants also self-reported their stress levels both before and after the tasks. The research only used samples where the person's blood pressure and heart rate had increased. 4 dogs, Trail, Fingal, Suit, and Winnie, then had to sniff out these stress samples. Real side note, Suit... great name for a dog.
Yes.
Great name for a dog, especially if he's a black and white dog, naming him Soot. That's a great name. That's a good name. So moving on. They examined one person's relaxed and stressed sample, and after a quick investigation, each dog was able to pick out the stressed out smell. The results are published in the journal PLOS-1.
That's fascinating.
That's pretty cool. Now, the dogs doing this, like, couldn't have been happier until they found the stress. Like, they were so happy to be doing these experiments and everything. And then as soon as these little kind of devices came out for them to sniff, immediately their mood changed. Like, almost, instantly it changed. And it was another sign, too, of how not only empathetic dogs are, but how little of their own emotions they pay attention to.
Yeah.
They are so quick to, what is it? Oh, what are you doing? Where's the focus? I'm not going to win anybody over with this comparison, but it's a little bit like a little baby, a little kid, when they're first starting to walk, and you have not a second where that shadow's not there with you. There's not one second where that shadow... If you have a second where it's not there, then you worry.
Right.
Like, wait a minute, where'd the shadow go?
Where'd they go?
Where'd it go? Hey, little feet. Dogs do these kind of things, too, with this, where they're picking up on that stuff, as far as that part of this thing goes.
Yeah. Well, and it just is another reason why they are definitely man's best friend. And that they can sense when someone is upset and comfort them is a really good reason why they are such great therapy animals.
And this next story, while it is science-based, and I think it is factual, and it is information, so as a, you know, and our head of news, Melissa, we should be covering it. But then there's also, they're talking about trees. So, yeah, we're going to talk about it, because Melissa and I love trees.
Yeah, we're a little obsessed.
Yeah. As carbon dioxide grows more abundant, trees are growing bigger, studies are finding. Trees are feasting on decades of carbon dioxide emissions and growing bigger as a result, according to a new study of U.S. forests. Scientists tracked wood volume in 10 different tree groups from 97 to 2017, finding that all except aspen birch grew larger.
Wow.
Over the same period, carbon dioxide levels went from 363 parts per million to 405 parts per million, owing largely to the burning off fossil fuels. More abundant CO2 accelerants have caused plants to grow faster, a phenomenon known as carbon fertilization.
Interesting.
The findings were published in the Journal of Nature Communications. The study suggests that even as warming threatens forests by fueling drought, insect infestation, and wildfires, rising CO2 levels mean that tree planting is an increasingly cost-effective method of fighting climate change, as the same number of trees can sequester more carbon. Now, that's in theory. I mean, there is some truth to that, yes.
Yep.
But we're not doing any good if, hey, I planted 10 trees to replace the 10 I just burned down. And while that's going on, all these other companies and all these other things are destroying tree after tree after tree. Mm-hmm. And while you're sitting there over there planting 10. Like, that's great.
Right.
Plant those 10 trees. Mm-hmm. But we also need to do something about these businesses just burning them down over nothing. Like, I mean, you can do both. Not like you have to pick and choose here or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because deforestation is definitely an issue across our entire planet. But here in the United States, logging industries have decimated a lot of our forests. They've been replanted to some extent. I think we could do more.
Yeah. Yeah. And like a lot of things in life, we can always do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You get what you put in. What are you going to put into this? This article is coming to us from Yale Environment 360, part of the Yale University's one of their websites. So if you're curious, you can check out the complete article there. While you're at it, I would take a look at this other article that came up a couple of years ago about why keeping mature forests intact is key to climate change. The climate fight, really.
Right. Well, for what you just said of them soaking up more of the carbon dioxide.
I just wanted to reference both the articles referenced for that discussion. And it just also a fascinating, you know, article. Mm-hmm. However you feel about this stuff, even if you don't care about this stuff, I think it's quite interesting to learn about. I do think you should learn. I do think it's important. But I don't want to put that on anybody. I just think that it's also very interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to, now this doesn't have anything necessarily to do with climate change or any of the climate fight, but learning more and more about the language of trees.
Yes.
And how underground, all these roots, you know, they're texting each other. They're constantly texting each other. They're all in text chains and text groups. And they're all kinds of this. Like, that's trees. They're talking.
Nice. Well, according to this, there's 3.04 trillion trees on the planet.
and
that's 422 trees for every person.
And yet not enough.
Because trees are cool.
And trees are cool. And not one of them, gnats. Not one from the Lord of the Rings things. Not one of those trees that... I'm gonna lose some people in that one because there's some diehards out there and I think I got the name wrong. So we'll take a break. We'll come back after Melissa's news and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, Workout Central today.
Mm-hmm.
All of our bumper music has just got everybody doing their workouts out there. Just good music for that. Hopefully you're having a good workout and you're having a good start to your day out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Mel and James here with you. Interesting one here, Melissa. Comes to us from AP News. We're going to Hoopersville, Maryland.
Ooh.
The federal government has sold off a rather in a spacious lighthouse in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay for a six-figure sum after a bidding war at auction. The Hooper Island Lighthouse, located near Middle Hooper Island in Maryland's Dorchester County, at first drew little interest. The Washington Post reported, but then five potential buyers drove up the price from a starting bid of $15,000 to the winning bid of $192,000.
Whoa.
Will Powell, a spokesman for the U.S. General Service Admission, told the newspaper the lighthouse comes with strings attached.
Okay.
Here's where the article gets interesting. The new owners must maintain it as a Coast Guard navigational aid, observance historical preservation standards, and sign a memorandum of agreement with the Navy about what it can be, when it can be accessed. So you kind of own this, but you don't really own it.
Yeah, it has some requirements.
No change in the paint job or anything like that.
Nope, lights got to stay on.
I'm going to put up a disco ball in the lighthouse. You're not going to do that. The rusting lighthouse, known locally as the spark plug, has an outer ladder, but no nearby dock for a boat to moor. A 2019 inspection also found lead-based paint, asbestos, and a bunch of other stuff, and other dangerous substances inside where there is no water, electricity, or other utilities.
Okay.
Quote, it is a unique opportunity, Paul told the Post, and there are people out there that love lighthouses. U.S. Lighthouse Society previously owned the structure, and the government auctioned it on the organization's behalf, according to the Post. The new owner's identity won't be known until final documents are signed. I would do this. If I had that kind of money. I live out in that area.
If you had that kind of money, maybe.
Yeah.
But to do the restoration that they're going to have to do there, that's going to be quite a bit more money.
It's
they're
a bit
dealing
of a
with things like lead and asbestos and other dangerous things.
Bit of a fixer-upper.
A little bit.
Kind of seems like maybe you just, like, right next to it, build a new one that doesn't have all this stuff. But, yeah. There's so much interesting about lighthouses to me, and especially ones that are still in use and how useful they still are.
Well, and the important role that they play because, well, yes, ships are equipped with GPS. Everybody's got a cell phone. You know, a cell phone tower goes down.
Yep.
Satellite gets disconnected. Things happen. You have a 100-year storm. You still need to know where the shore is.
Right. Yeah. That has not changed.
No. Nope.
That part stayed very safe.
Well, I mean, maybe not in Florida right now, but
yeah. When it comes to things like that, I think of one of the first things that pops in my head is something my dad and my papa really instilled in me. Always have a map in the car.
Yeah.
And I think I know nowadays, oh, well, I can look up anything on my phone, like Mel said.
But you can if you don't have any cell signal.
You don't have a cell signal and you're trying to figure out where you're going or anything.
Or your battery on your phone dies.
Right. Yeah. You've been listening to music these 2-hour trip and all of a sudden you're somewhere where you haven't been before and you're like, I got no service. I got no battery on my phone. That old map. It's going to come in handy.
Yes.
There are certain things that I think it doesn't hurt to have backup.
Right.
You know,
can't take it for granted.
I think most of us are pretty good about backing up all the data on all the important stuff on our phones. Most phones are pretty good at that nowadays.
they kind of do it for us, which is really nice because some of us aren't good at backing that stuff up.
So go the extra step and back some stuff up in your day-to-day life as well. It's important to do. And you just... I mean, it's one of those things, like with the computers, where you're going to want to do it because the day that you don't, or if you haven't, you'll rue that.
Yep. That's when things get lost or there's a fire or electricity surge. You know, you just never know what can happen.
You never know what is going to happen in the hockey game, Melissa. Like, you can go into it, and you can think you understand this, and this about the players, and then the game starts, and all bets are off, man. that is hockey 101 from every version of it being played. Just the simplest tink of the puck on a checkboard or something like that can send that thing flying in the direction that sends the whole thing into a whole different spin, just from one simple thing happening.
Or you have one player who's wearing ice skates, you know, figure skates.
Yep. Everything's like that. You know, you never know. It's hockey. and we love hockey around here, and we're so excited and so happy to be talking about Wisconsin 105.5 WIRI being your new home for the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings.
Woo-hoo.
all home games this season going to be right there as they build hockey up and down the river.
Nice.
You can get tickets to find out more by going to riverkingshockey.com. Encourage you to listen to those games. Not only are you getting the game, there's a bunch of interviews in between we did, Steph and I did, and some other fun stuff.
Yeah, you got to meet the entire team.
Yeah, we had a blast. and it's so much fun. And these are such good people, such good kids.
Nice.
I'd be rooting for them because they're wearing that jersey, but once you get to know them, you're like, oh, I'm rooting for the human being.
Yeah.
Not just the team. Yes.
Yeah.
And to the point where, just like with Rafter players, we follow them as they go to this AAA team and they make their MLDB debut and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the River Kings.
Yeah, that's
we
awesome.
We want you also to not only to catch every game you can on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Got a game this Saturday at 7. Be sure to catch it. If you can get to the ballpark, we encourage you to go to riverkingshockey.com to get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Or call us up right now. 424-2600. Yep, I got two tickets. Mel got one. I got one. We're going to put them together, and we're going to give them to you. Call up, and all you got to do is tell me, give me a River Kings player. Just give me the name of one of the River Kings players. That's all. That's all you need to do. It doesn't even have to be a current player. It could be one of your favorite players from years past.
Okay.
That's okay, too. Call up. Let us know. Give us that simple thing. I mean, you can Google it and find it out. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm doing.
Right? Yeah. Go ahead and call up 424-2600. Win yourself these two tickets to any general admission home game.
For the whole season.
Whole season long. And woo-hoo! Support your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river again this Saturday at 7 o'clock on our sister station, WIRI. You can catch the River Kings starting at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Got a couple of That Ain't Right stories before our good stories of the day, and we get you ready for Morning Magazine. Have you ever stopped at a roadside stand that works on the honor system, Melissa?
I've seen them. I've never stopped at one.
I don't think I've seen one like that works on the honor system, but I've stopped at many roadside, you know, establishments over my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
No employees, just a bunch of fruit or vegetables and a box you drop money in.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. I genuinely have never seen that. I have no doubt it exists. I just haven't seen those before.
I especially see them this time of year as like selling corn.
Okay. A 67-year-old woman in Indiana, again, a 67-year-old woman in Indiana, Teresa, is facing charges for stealing from one of those stands.
Oh.
Between July and September, she stopped at a small family-run stand that sells corn at least 18 times.
Yikes.
She'd reach into the box like she was making change and walk off with a wad of money.
Mm.
Cops say she stole around $2,000 total.
Oh, my goodness.
And also took a bunch of corn. Like, well, come on.
Not cool.
Come on. The family that owns the stand put up a security camera when they realized money was missing. So all the thefts after that were caught on video. Got you red-handed.
Yeah, she's going to face some charges.
Teresa tried to deny it and said she'd only stopped at the stand 3 times this year. She even claimed to have dementia and said she couldn't drive, but she's never been diagnosed, and they have footage of her driving almost every single day of her life.
And seeing her there more than 3 times.
So not only are you basically stealing, that's like stealing from a nonprofit. Like, I mean, that's like stealing from a church, essentially. It's not the same thing, but they're right in the same ballpark
here. Targeting one particular family. Two.
On top of it, you're gonna bring dementia into this? Like, that ain't bad karma, man. I mean, it's already some bad karma, but man, you... Because anybody that has had to been with somebody or had a loved one experience dementia, that's not something you just throw out there.
No.
Like trying to get out of a speeding ticket or something like that. That is some nasty, bad karma you're creating right there. Man. And the most that ain't right of all of this to me, Melissa, outside of course, stealing from people like this and everything.
Yeah.
67. Like, if she was 17, I would be like, well, come on, you should know better. You're older. You know, you're becoming a young adult and everything.
Yeah.
67, and you're doing this. Like,
No.
Man.
Not okay.
Man. That is, that is rough. If she has grandchildren, she's never going to be able to tell them, like, life lessons or anything like that. They're never going to listen to her. They're never going to... And this next Nanny Wright story, a little bit lighter on the lighter note, or is it? Okay.
Or is
you guys
it?
Decide yourselves. Let me know. Let me know. I don't want to take this lightly when I should be taking it more serious. A cat performed the most head-scratching stunt in Wales recently on Class Picture Day, leaving a group of proud moms in floods of laughter. 10 and 7-year-olds Megan and Chloe Roberts were all dressed up and excited to have their picture taken at Drury Primary School. But their excitement couldn't compare with that of Ziggy, their orange and white cat who regularly visits the school. When Ziggy, the honorary student, felt it was his turn, the 4-year-old effortlessly jumped up on the photo chair, looked straight at the camera, got his snap, and promptly left.
Really?
Like, this cat just was watching people doing this and then decided to do it itself. And I'm showing Melissa the picture of the cat.
Oh, wow. He posed perfectly. He's just sitting there looking at the camera. It's got his head tilted just the right way.
It almost looks like he bent a little bit just to make sure he was in frame.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. hunch down just a little bit.
So
that's hilarious.
I think this is fun. This is cool. It's a sweet article and everything. Mm-hmm. Who would take this in a dark direction? Well, me. Because, all right, I don't think that this cat just did this nonchalantly. I think this cat may have a side gig, like with the cat food companies or something like that, you know, doing some modeling and everything, and not sharing the money with the sisters.
Hmm.
Cat's just pocketing all this money, probably got a ton of catnip, just tons and tons of catnip.
Just looking for a free headshot.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I also can relate to that as an actor. I mean, sometimes, you know, headshots are one of the bigger things that we teach young actors. Like, keep your headshots updated. Have professional ones.
Mm-hmm.
These casting people, they're jerks about that stuff sometimes. And I mean, they're great people. and that can happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This cat just trying to get a free headshot. Just trying to get it. They're expensive. Expensive.
They're pricey.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
We will. I'd love to have seen this happening.
Right. And the photographer going, oh, well, next. Okay, cat. Check.
I love the idea of the photographer not taking that picture, one, because you have to.
Right.
And two, nobody will believe you if you don't.
Right.
You got it. Like, no. Telling all
would you believe what happened today at school? Yeah, cat jumped on the chair.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into some good stories of the day now, Mel. I do want to remind everybody that one of our good stories of the day is Morning Magazine today. We got two great guests back to back. We're going to kick things off talking with our friends from the Arts Council. Sally Kistner is going to be with us.
Awesome.
Eric Britnocker will be with us from the Performing Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be joined by Ethan Leth. He is the drummer for the Linda Ronstadt Experience.
Awesome.
We're going to be talking to him a little bit. We'll play a little bit of the Linda Ronstadt Experience for you, some of their music, give you the details and logistics about the show.
That's coming up next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show. That's going to be a good one. And in part two today, we're going to catch up with our friends from the Southwood County YMCA. Tracy and Heather will be with us. We're going to start off talking about Halloween at the Y and updates on childcare opportunities.
Nice.
And some other great things. Back-to-back great conversations. Another great conversation a little later today at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Joined Coach Granato and get up to date on all things hockey with your Wisconsin Badgers.
All things hockey with Badgers.
Yes. The Wisconsin Badgers, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, speaking of hockey here in town, our River Kings, I want to send a shout-out to Gary, who won himself a pair of tickets.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for listening, Gary. Keep on listening all week long. We're going to have more tickets we're going to give away here on the morning show. Never know what hour we're going to do it. Be listening to find out when. Diving into our good stories of the day. A herd of cows in Germany adopted a wild boar piglet that got separated from its family. They've been taking care of it a little over a month now.
That's cute. The pictures are cute.
They're really great. They're really great.
Just this little pig trotting along behind the cows.
I noticed this especially about, I would say, about 8 years ago, 7 years ago or so, more so. But even during the pandemic and that, be doing the news and I need a palate cleanser. Nothing was working. For some reason, seeing these like awkward animal friendships makes me smile and laugh every time. Mm-hmm. There's a reserve, a famous one in the upper New York area, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And they have a bear, a lion, and a tiger that are all friends. And I want a sitcom starring all three of them. I want to see that show. I want
to... Oz of New York.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Nicely done. And speaking of animals, an emotional support dog that works at a middle school in Ohio just got its own yearbook photo again.
Aww.
For the second year in a row. So, you know, maybe the cat that we did earlier had heard about this dog.
Wants to get in on it.
I don't blame that. There's some heavy competition between cats and dogs. You don't want to, you know, one of them had the leg up on you or anything.
I saw that sink in as you said it.
I'm just the worst. I am horrible. I want to apologize to everybody for every pun I ever make. I am not trying to do them. I'm sorry. It's just the way my silly brain works. A 10-year-old girl from Ukraine. Yeah, keep moving. A 10-year-old girl from Ukraine named Agnes left her family when Russia invaded and had to leave her cat behind. Mm. But after a very big effort from lots of people, she got him back.
Nice.
They were in Romania before relocating to Northern California. And on their flight over, they made friends with a stewardess named Dee Harnish. She stayed in touch and heard about the cat who'd been with Agnes's uncle.
Okay.
So she made some calls and got a charity involved. Then the uncle took the cat to Moldova on his motorcycle, where someone else took it to Romania. A woman vacationing in Greece cut her trip short to get him, and 7,000 miles later, Agnes got her cat back.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a really cool story.
The kindness of strangers.
Yeah.
I think we've all heard that phrase before. I think many of us, if we're fortunate, we've experienced a touch of it before. Mm-hmm. Not like this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's quite the story.
But it speaks to, like, again,
humanity.
How connected humanity is.
Yeah.
This is not happening. This is not happening to almost any of those people that were helping. That they are not a part of, technically not a part of the invasion of the what's going on in Ukraine necessarily. Mm-hmm. But we all are paying attention. We all care. We want to help. I would think that. There are some similar, I've heard from people who are old enough to be able to tell you that there is a similar feeling to this as there have been other wars in years past, mm-hmm. where it's even, maybe it's not taking place on our soil or involving us, but it does involve us.
Mm-hmm. It affects us.
It involves all of us, not just us here in America. It involves mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah.
That is just, I mean, there's good stories of the day, and then there's that story.
Right.
Like, I got nothing. I don't even know where to go from there. I kind of want to wrap up the show 5 minutes early just because I don't know where you're supposed to go from that story. How am I going to top that? That's beautiful.
How cool would it be to be, you know, to be told, well, can you help with this one little thing? Can you take this cat from this city to this city and then find out later that you were a part of this big overall effort to reunite a cat with its owner, or, you know, a different animal of some sort. I think that would just be really neat.
Yeah. A couple more for you. A proud mom in Camden, New Jersey, bought a billboard ad to let people know her daughter is a doctor now. It cost $1,250. She did it to congratulate her, but also to inspire kids in Camden because it's one of the poorest cities in America.
Wow.
My mom did something very similar when I graduated, but he's not a doctor. And just her guilty look at me, just her looking at me guiltily. No. How cool is this?
That's awesome.
You not only because of the proudness, you know, being a proud, but being mm-hmm. able to inspire others.
Yes.
That is very cool. A 44-year-old runner named Robert Pope raised money for the World Wildlife Fund by becoming the first person to run across Ireland in under 24 hours.
Wow.
He ran 134 miles from Galway to Dublin in 23 hours and 39 minutes.
Hmm.
And since it's Ireland, he had a pint of Guinness before and after the run.
Well, that's accurate.
I mean, that's, you know, he earned it. He earned it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. He ran off the calories. So, I mean, you know, he's got nothing to worry about there.
Uh-huh.
And the Miss Universe pageant updated its rules a couple weeks ago. Starting next year, married women and moms can compete.
Really?
For 70 years, only single women between 18 and 28 who'd never had kids could be crowned Miss Universe.
Hmm.
What the what? Like, that's the rule. That's been a rule that long?
Yeah.
You can't have had a kid? You can't get. You can't be married to be. What the? How late are we on that one? Like, what is this, 1930? What? Okay, I'm sorry.
You may have picked the wrong topic with me with beauty pageants because I got some issues. But go ahead.
Well, and I do too. But I will say this: that like so many of them are scholarship funds. So many, like you know, I. Certainly two different worlds here, two different universes, if you will. But like the Miss Wisconsin Rapids pageant, that's all about scholarship money. That's something for kids that, you know, maybe they get a bit of extra help that they might not normally get. I don't know enough about Miss Universe to say if that has any, if they have any scholarships or anything like that involved in it. I do know that that ain't right. That it took them this long.
Yeah.
What the what? That ain't right. We are going to be getting out of here now, getting ready for Morning Magazine. Melissa, hope you have a fantastic day.
Yeah, you too, James.
Looking forward to tomorrow morning where you and Seth and I get together. We'll get the gang back together and have some fun there. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
We also got some great stuff and great people joining us, like Phil Hartley from Quality Plus Printing with the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. And it's live radio, so you never know what else can happen.
Nope.
And keep that in mind as well, because we're taking the show on the road this Friday, 7 to 10. We're helping Family Natural Foods celebrate their 76th anniversary.
Really looking forward to it.
That's going to be a blast. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Stick around for Morning Magazine. Mel, have a good one.
You too, James.
You guys have a good one out there. Coming up, we got more.